Broadcasting live from the Cobb Business Radio X studio, it's time for the Business, Babies, and Beauty Radio Show, brought to you by Airbender.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Business, Babies, and Beauty Radio Show. Thank you so much. I feel like I hadn't been here. Hello, December. I'm so happy to see you, December. This is my birthday month. I am all about December. My birthday is December 22nd. That is also the first day of winter. I'm bringing the winter. The winter winds. So I'm your host, your coach, Shanda Cadet, creator and founder of BusinessBabiesAndBeauty.com, a multifaceted resource for business moms. I know firsthand the challenges of growing a business and a family. I'm an entrepreneur, wife, and mother to my six beautiful children. So I help women with their business, their babies, and their beauty. Stay tuned for more information on that, because I have a truly amazing guest with me on the show today to discuss business, babies, and beauty. If you're, I'm on Periscope as well. And if you could just see this beautiful face that is in front of me, and after she told me what she did this morning, I mean, you wouldn't even think, but she did it. That's Dr. Lori Johnson, OBGYN and founder of Just For You Women's Health. Absolutely. Dr. Lori, thank you so much for being here with me today. I know for sure that you could have been doing so many other things today, okay? I know for sure that you could have been delivering a baby. Are you on call for that right now? Like, who is anybody do?
No. Oh, well, there's people do, but not right now.
Okay.
not yet.
Okay, so before I get started with the interview, I just want to talk about all her amazingness. Dr. Lori Johnson is a board-certified OBGYN that practices out of Locust Grove, Georgia. Born and raised in Long Branch, New Jersey by her grandmother, Dr. Lori has wanted to be a doctor for as long as she can remember. She's always had a passion for women's health. For her undergraduate degree, Dr. Lori attended the prestigious Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, and furthered her education at the Hahnemann. Okay, I didn't want to get that wrong. Hahnemann University School of Medicine in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She has been practicing for over 12 years. In 2009, she relocated to Atlanta, Georgia to open her own practice. Just For You Women's Healthcare, established in 2009, serves the metro Atlanta area with a focus on Henry County, Clayton, Butts, and Spalding counties. Although Dr. Lori has achieved her dreams of becoming an OBGYN, she is no stranger to hardship. Dr. Lori had to support herself through college. At 23, she became a single mother. She raised her daughter while going to medical school. Her residency and her first years as a practicing physician, Dr. Lori works diligently to give back to those that may be in a situation similar to the one she faced as a young mother. Dr. Lori is committed to improving the health of all women. She has participated in medical mission trips abroad and currently helps at health fairs presented by a variety of organizations. In her free time, whenever that is, Dr. Lori enjoys reading, traveling, creative writing, sports, and spending time with her two children. Now, that is amazing. Thank you so much again for being here with me today, Dr. Lori. So let's just hop right on into the business. What led you to become a doctor? I know you always wanted to become one, but like, what was that moment in your childhood or whenever it was that you was like, you know what, I just want to be a doctor?
I think I was about four. And someone bought me a book about how your bodies form and how babies are made and all this stuff. And it was like a cartoon kind of a book. And I just remember reading it forever and hours and hours. And I was like, I know what girl parts are and I know what boy parts are. And people are looking at me like, what? And this is the 70s now. So we didn't talk about girl parts and boy parts out loud. And I was like, oh, girls have this and boys have that. They're looking at me like, what? And I just really have always had a passion for learning about the human body. And for whatever reason, always drawn to like the OB part, women's health part. And then through high school and college, that just continued and grew. And, you know, here I am.
Yeah.
I will say probably the best thing about it is that I was never told I couldn't. You know, I never saw a female physician as a child. I never saw a black physician as a child. But I never had a family. My family never said, oh, you can't do that. They said, oh, she's going to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, she's going to be a doctor. And I think that's just so crucial in pouring into our children. If they say they want to do it, okay, well, you can do it, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you've seen the image in person or not, you can still achieve whatever you want. And that's just, I think, was the main thing that got me never turning back from wanting to become that.
Mm-hmm. I think that is absolutely amazing. And then you're right to have that support and just somebody saying that you can do it. Okay, yeah, that's cool. I had the same thing. My mom never told me what I could and couldn't be. And mm-hmm. so I do the same thing with my children. Right. Whatever it is that you want to be, even if it changes tomorrow. Right. Okay. Right. And then look at you. You are the doctor. So I'm sure that your parents and grandparents and grandmother were super proud of you.
Yes, extremely, extremely. They're just all happy. And, you know, it's funny because when I go home mm-hmm. to Jersey, they're like, oh, that's right. You're a doctor. Oh, they remember, but then they forget. They're like, oh, that's my niece, a doctor. Right. So it's kind of funny, but it's great. It's mm-hmm. great.
And so you're no stranger to entrepreneurship. Mm. Tell us about that.
I always wanted to start my own practice, maybe when I first got out of my training. And in Pennsylvania, where I was practicing, the malpractice climate and such is so much higher there, and it's a little bit harder to start off on your own. And about 2008, I was like, you know, what am I going to do something? And I believe it was God said, you know, look into Atlanta. I was like, okay. Wow. So I started looking into Atlanta, what was available, and found an opportunity to start a practice with some financial backing from a hospital. Mm-hmm. So I said, let's go.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's been a challenge and a journey. I mean, entrepreneurship is truly an adventure. The learning curve is steep. And if you don't learn quickly, you will feel repercussions of it. Mm-hmm. So there were a couple of days when I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go on back to Jersey. Hang this little sign on the door, we're closed. Mm-hmm. But I didn't and stuck it out. Yeah. So that's just the... It's a lot, you mm-hmm. know, and I say any entrepreneur, when they say, oh, I'm going to start a business, you know, give it at least 3 years. Mm. 3 years of just grinding and being like, I want to quit every day.
Yeah.
Because that part of it is really, if you can get past those first couple of years, you'll do okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so what would you say, like gets you through it when you said, you know what, I'm going to hang this sign up and say, close. What is that that just keeps you motivated to keep going?
Well, I'll say, well, I'm going to go back one more day. I'm going to see how tomorrow looks. If tomorrow's a little better, I might stay.
Right. And, tell us about your business, your services, the name of, well, it's Just For You. Tell us about Just For You.
Just For You Women's Healthcare. And that's kind of Just For You. My staff laughs and said, you know, Laura, Dr. Johnson, you shouldn't have named it that because they think you're the only patient. And that's kind of the feel we want to get across. Mm-hmm. It is just for you. Mm-hmm. So even everything from the decor of the office to the feel of the office, it's kind of much of a personal kind of one-on-one situation. I'm the only physician there, so I can be busy mm-hmm. at times. I still do deliveries, as you mentioned before. So it's that kind of, I'm probably going to be there 90% of the time to deliver your baby if mm-hmm. I've seen you for the whole pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of like our key. It's personal. It's more like you're coming in to see like your friends mm-hmm. kind of sort mm-hmm. of instead of just, I'm coming, going to the doctor. Oh, mm-hmm. I dread it. Because nobody likes going to the gynecologist. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Mm-hmm. It's like, ugh, I have to go back again. But we try to really create the environment. Customer service is very important to us. I'm really impressed upon my staff to, you know, from the phone call to the coming in the door, everything has to be pleasant and warm and friendly. Right. And no wait. You're not waiting in my office for 3 hours.
Oh, I love
that.
Not
doing that.
Yeah, I love that.
I don't like to wait. Yeah. So you're not going to wait.
I love that.
And that's kind of like a key is just for you. And so we do some holistic therapies. We don't do just surgery or just writing prescription medicines. I do some bioidentical hormone therapy for my older patients.
What is that exactly?
Bioidentical hormones, you know, when people get into that menopausal age, mm-hmm. their hormones get a little crazy. Mm-hmm. And most of the things that you get commercially are synthetic hormones. And I always explain it like this. Most women have bought a knockoff bag before, mm-hmm. correct, right?
Yes.
Like a knockoff something.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. We've all done it. We've all done it. And so, you know, you get the bag. and it's cute, mm-hmm. you know, and it's nice. But after you carry it for a while, the threads, and the coating comes off, and it's not quite what it was when you bought it. So as opposed to if you spent the money for the authentic bag, you're going to wear it forever, and it's going to look great. Mm-hmm. Well, bioidentical hormones are like that authentic bag that your body was already making prior to menopause. They come from plant-based and they're natural sources. And at the chemical level, they're exactly what your body is used to having. So it's used to breaking it down, used to metabolizing it, nothing different. The synthetic hormones are like your knockoff bags. Mm-hmm. They look like the hormones, but once your body gets they get in your body, there's some parts in the chemical structure that your body doesn't quite know what to do with. Mm-hmm. So it ends up getting stored in your liver, stored in your breast. And that's when you see the higher risk of breast cancers and mm-hmm. things like that mm-hmm. with those synthetic type of hormones, because your body didn't know what to do with them because they're not exactly what you've had before. Mm-hmm. So that's when I say bioidenticals, we give those hormones, and they're usually creams. And oftentimes they have to be made at pharmacies, and they're more specific for the individual. So we can tweak the dosage based on the woman's blood testing and her symptoms to get her to where she needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. And any more services that you offer?
Oh, we do. We do surgery. We did some liposuction at one time. I don't really do that too much anymore because it's just time consuming, basically. But all types of female surgeries, as well as your well woman care, your GYN visits, your full obstetric care. Teenagers come in a lot. I do a lot of STD talking, a lot of counseling for mm-hmm. my younger girls because they're all, you know.
Dabbling. And what age should they start coming in? I know I came to one, I don't know, was I like 17, mm-hmm. I think, just to get information.
Right. And that's fine, just mm-hmm. to get information. Some of my ladies come in there younger because they're having issues with their menstrual cycles as early as 13. But unless you're sexually active, mm-hmm. you don't necessarily need to have an internal and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Sexual activity or age 21 if you're just coming in for information. Or if you just want to come in for a talk, find out what kind of options are available, you know, for birth control and other things like that. Mm-hmm. Kind of get the safe sex talk, you know, from your doctor mama. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Boys have cooties.
Right. I mean, the age to talk about sex these days is, I mean, it's getting much younger.
Absolutely.
I mean, I just had to talk to my, she's 8. I had to talk to her about it because there's so many stories out there, and I just felt like, well, let me just give her like the good story. Right. So maybe I didn't do a good job, but tell me a good way to tell my daughter the good story about sex. I mean, it's real. It happens. That's how babies are made.
Right.
I don't want to tell her, no, it's horrible, it's disgusting, and, you know, I don't want to do that. I want to be real with her. So what's a good way to do that?
Well, and each child's going to be a little different. Most 7-8-year-olds aren't going to get the whole concept. Mm-hmm. So you can say something like, well, you know, sex is something that people who are preferably married
right.
Do, and that's how babies get created. And usually that's enough mm-hmm. for them to kind of just ponder on, you know, but you have to be prepared for the questions. Well, so-and-so had a baby, she's not married.
Right.
Well, so-and-so had a baby, they're not married. Yes, sometimes people do have sex without being married. I'll tell you a funny story. As you said, I have a daughter who's now 22, mm-hmm. but she was like 7 and 8 all through my training. So one time she had saw this journal that came into my house, and it said something about a female condom. So she goes, Mom, what's a female condom? She's like 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. So I tell her, and we have sex talk about, you know, people having sex and having babies. So she says, oh, so that means so-and-so was a friend of ours. Craig had sex 6 times. They had 6 children. And I said, she said, well, they have 6 kids, so they had sex 6 times. I said, yeah, sure. Sure, that's great. And so for a while, she kind of just held on to the concept that she would have sex when you wanted to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't want to have a baby, you just wouldn't have sex. Right. So I was fine with that.
Right. I was
fine with that for a long time. And a lot of children will process in that kind of way mm-hmm. until they kind of go, well, there's more to it. Like, mm-hmm. why are they doing that? So, you know, it's a stepwise thing. It's a kind of just give them what they need to know in that moment. And most of the time, they don't really want to know too much. Right. And they'll go, ooh, that's nasty.
True, they do. Mm-hmm. I tried to explain to my kids when they said, well, how does the baby get in your stomach? I said, well, God gives the your dad a seed. And then I swallow the seed. And then my stomach is bigger. And they were fine with that for a long time until they heard differently. And I told them the baby just kind of, you know, pops out of your stomach. And somebody told them, no, it doesn't. It comes through there. So I had to explain. My daughter's like, I don't want to have babies.
It's gross. It's gross. Ew.
And so that's extremely interesting. So I had a question about menopause. Like, what is the youngest age that you can get that? Because I'm 33, but I'm feeling hot flashes. And I mean, sometimes I have the fan on and my husband's like, it's not hot. And I'm like, yes, it is. So could I be experiencing that? Or
it will be early, but you can have it as early as your mid-30s.
Okay.
Up until 50s. Mm-hmm. But early, anything before like 40 is considered premature menopause.
Okay.
And of course, the official definition of menopause is when you stop having a cycle.
Okay.
And your cycle has to be gone for a whole year. Mm-hmm. So that's the official definition. Now, you can have symptoms, hot flashes, moodiness, things like that, you know, from 35 on, 30 something on, but until the cycle stops and you stop having it for a full year, you're not considered officially menopausal.
Okay. So I'm just hot.
It's hot.
And moody.
Maybe PMS and
okay. Okay. Let's just talk a little bit about women's health. Like, what is considered, well, let's just say, how do we keep a healthy vagina?
You know, it's pretty basic, actually. And keep a whole lot of stuff out of it.
Right.
Keep too much stuff out. Mm-hmm. And basically, we'll take the vagina kind of reflects your inner health, actually. Mm-hmm. Of course, taking away STDs and things like that, but, you know, putting bad stuff in there.
Right.
Bad people.
Mm-hmm. Bad people.
And bad people put bad stuff in there.
Right.
And, beside that, you know, stuff like drinking water, healthy diets. You know, we see a lot of something called bacterial vaginosis.
Yeah.
Tons of it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's dietary related. They don't drink water. They don't eat healthy, lots of processed food. And it sets the pH chemistry of the body off. Mm-hmm. And then the vagina responds and it becomes more basic and allows bacteria to overgrow. And then you have these discharges and things that don't smell well and all mm-hmm. those kind of things. And a lot of times it goes back to your own diet and what you're not doing mm-hmm. appropriately. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to douche every minute, every mm-hmm. month, actually hardly ever, because mm-hmm. your vagina should clean itself.
Okay, I was just going to say, so you don't have to dish after your period.
You don't, because it's if it's working how it's supposed to, it's going to clean itself out. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, I mean, baths are okay, but be careful about letting water inside mm-hmm. during the bath, because that will set the chemistry off and cause you bacterial vaginosis. Overshaving. I see there was a trend a few years ago where everyone was going just completely bald.
Bare, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was not great for.
Is it not great?
It's not great.
I enjoy being bald.
You enjoy being bald?
I do.
You can be bald.
Or just like
a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when they overdo it, mm-hmm. it ends up, especially if it's shaving, overdoing mm-hmm. shaving, it opens up room for infections and things like that. So don't overdo it. Mm-hmm. A little bit every now and then.
Okay. So just on a nice vacation. Maybe.
Yeah.
But during the whole rest of the year.
Yeah, keep it, you know, neat. Just don't. I'm bald all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So shaving versus Nair or cream or waxing, it's all the same.
And with waxing, you know, you've got to be careful too. I've seen some really nasty infections and things from waxing at a place that wasn't great. Mm-hmm. You know, there's different types of wax. So a lot of these places that do nails and they want to do bikini wax and all that.
Right.
You better make sure that it's different waxes, it's different pots of wax is different, all that.
You know, I didn't even think about it. When you just said it and you just compiled everything together, now I'm just thinking about it. Maybe I shouldn't get wax where I'm getting my nails
done. Probably not. Because a lot of times they're not, you know, they're not mixing the waxes and stuff. Or sometimes they're too hot for the vagina, which you can use on your face. You can't really use on your vagina. So there's a couple, some nuances to it. And a lot of people just, you know, I've seen some really
interesting things.
Yeah. Interesting things.
You said that the vagina self cleanses. So are we okay with not using a soap?
Not inside. I mean, you know, cleanse the outside, of course. But you don't have to really stick much up in there soap wise. And if so, just there's a little baking soda and water if you want to cleanse just
inside.
Kind of inside is fine. But you don't want to put too many chemicals in there because that ends up, recreating the environment for bacteria to overgrow and causing the infections and stuff like that. And then so much is over the counter, you know, everybody thinks, oh, it's a yeast infection. And that's not always the case. If you have what you consider frequent yeast infections, you need to go get checked out and figure out what's really going on and not just be treating yourself at the house.
Right, with the 7-day or 3-day
creams.
Okay, let's start. We're going to continue to talk about vaginas because I'm, you know, a whole lot about that. Family planning, birth control, the Plan B, how should we be going about that? Is that something that, because I know I've used it a couple times, but I don't want to be abusive, but I also, I'm just going to get personal here. This is my show. This is Business Babies and Beauty.
That's it.
But I also know I have 6 children, but I don't like birth control. I don't like what it does to my body and my hormones and all that extra stuff. I just want to be nice. And I don't want to do tubal ligation or what was the other thing?
The E-Sure.
E-Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, how can I just not get pregnant?
Well, it's a trick. The whole plan is to get you pregnant.
Oh, right.
That's how God designed it. God designed it to get you pregnant a lot. So it's kind of...
And we're good.
Yeah. You're good. You've contributed. Yeah. 6. That's a beautiful thing. You can only really get pregnant about 6 days a month around the time of your ovulation. And so your ovulation typically is about 2 weeks, I'm sorry, after the first day of your period. So if your period starts on the 1st, let's say the 1st of December, day 1, you start bleeding, you'll typically ovulate somewhere around the 14th or the 15th of that same month. So those about 2-3 days before the 14th and those 2-3 days after are when you're most likely to get pregnant.
Okay.
The trick is, most women have an increase in their sex drive while they're ovulating.
Yes, that is very true.
They've shown studies where women put on more makeup, wear brighter colors, they do their hair more during that time. It's very subconscious.
Wow.
Because at our very basics of nature, we want to procreate.
Right.
So that's the caveat is that that's when you are most into having sex, those days when you're most likely to get pregnant. So it's a little trick, see? After those days and before, the chance of getting pregnant are actually pretty low. But during that week, they are. So, you know, unless you're going to use a barrier, a spermicide, a condom, the sponge is now on the market. It was out probably 15 years ago, and now it's back. And that's something that's, it's non-hormonal. It's basically a barrier. You put it in. It stays in for a few hours after you have sex. You take it out. You know, that kind of thing. And those are available over the counter as well. And as you mentioned, Plan B. Plan B is something you can take within 72 hours of sexual intercourse unprotected. And that will prevent the conception. So those are some of the things you can do in lieu of taking everyday birth control. And I have a lot of patients like you who don't necessarily want permanent sterilization. They don't like the birth control, or they don't remember the every day, the grind of it kind of a thing. So those are some of the things you can do to not get pregnant. But the sponge, though, I'm a big sponge proponent.
Where is that? Where can we get that, the sponge from?
Right there. Any store.
CVS,
Kroger. Right there where the condoms and everything else are. It's a little box that's Today Sponge. Mm-hmm. They are out probably, like I said, 15 years ago. They pulled them off the market because people were leaving them in too long and just not using them properly and stuff like that. So they took them off. Now they brought them back a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And people have been, you know, buying.
So you put it in just like you would do the spermicide before, and then you take it out afterwards. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it just soaks up.
It just blocks a barrier. It's like a brown, like a disc, and it just stays in there. And then about 6 hours after intercourse, you pop it out. You can leave it in for up to 24 hours. You can have multiple encounters in that time, and then you take it out and prevents you from getting pregnant.
That's good. Maybe you try that. We'll look into that after the show. And then sometimes I'm like, you know, like my mom, she's crazy, but she's like, I tell her, you need to get all your birth control together, Shanda. And I'm like, well, I mean, sometimes it's like in the heat of the moment, you don't have time to go into the bathroom and get all your stuff together. But if I don't want any more children, that's what I need to do.
Yeah, right, yeah, that's it. If you're done, then,
right? Yeah. can you tell me what the difference is between the tubal ligation and the Issuer?
They're basically the same. The idea for both is to have permanent sterilization. The Issuer is something that's done. It goes up through the uterus and into the ends of the tubes, closest to the uterus, and it's supposed to scar your tube shut, as opposed to the tubal ligation. You have the surgery. They go in usually through your belly button and either cut or burn or the tubes, and they can see that they're burned. The problem with the Issuer is that you're relying on the body to scar shut. Mm-hmm. So there have been quite a few failures. Mm-hmm. People end up pregnant after having it done because their body didn't make that reaction tight enough, and everything still got through anyway. So.
Wow. Yeah. I know. I would be like, are you kidding me?
Exactly. Everybody's like, are you kidding me? Not quite.
Wow. Okay. And so you, I'm sure, explain that to your patients.
I do. And if they still opt for it, I'm great with it. But I still, I'm like, listen, just so you know, the failure rate is higher with the Issuer because it doesn't necessarily always scar. So I've delivered a few babies, one that I actually put in and a couple that other people have put in after Issuer. I'm like, oh, sorry. Sorry about that.
Wow. So speaking of babies, do you remember like how many you've delivered?
No.
Is it in like the thousands?
Probably.
Wow.
By now, yeah. Mm-hmm. The last time I had to count was probably, it was been like 10 years ago when I had to count for my last certification. Mm-hmm. And I was...
Oh, so you do have to count. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was up to about, it was like 600 or 700 back then. Mm-hmm. And that's like in 2005. Mm-hmm. So since then, I'm sure it's quite... I do about 10 to 15 deliveries a month. Mm-hmm. So it gets busy.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. And as you were speaking earlier, you're saying you deliver the babies of the moms who come in for the prenatal care, which is important. I know for me, my doctor, Dr. Sermons, loved him to death a little bit because I wanted to have something permanent done, probably at baby number two. But I love all my kids. Love him to death. But he just wouldn't do what I asked him to do. But I did like the fact that he saw me the whole time, and then he was the one who delivered the baby, because it just seems like it's just so much more personal.
Right.
You know me inside and out, and you know you're there to deliver the baby as well. Like, what is that experience for you? Like, when you're delivering the baby, like, how is it for you?
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy being able to kind of participate in that part of the family. Sometimes, even since I've been in Georgia, I'm on like the second or the third one for the family. Mm-hmm. So, you should have all my babies kind of a thing. And sometimes I'll do sisters and cousins. So it's like the same family members are there over again. So it's to me, it's fun. Mm-hmm. I get sleepy sometimes
because
it's the middle of the night.
Yes, right.
In the morning, I'm like, okay, I'm sleepy. But it's fun. And I feel like that's a great part of someone's life. Mm-hmm. You know, they do it, you know, 2-6 times, but most people do like 3-4 times, mm-hmm. and that's kind of it. But I get to kind of participate in that, and we take pictures mm-hmm. and see the babies and all that good stuff.
I bet so they fun. Send you cards and pictures of the we babies, do. And they we get do. Older and everything. Wow, yeah, that has to be do. Amazing.
It's fun. They're all coming to my office. Is pictures all over the office. I don't do the board because, mm-hmm. as I was saying, my office is more like homely, so mm-hmm. homey. Mm-hmm. So when you come in, there's like a couch and there's chairs, and you're like, am I in the living room?
Yeah, that's
so funny. There's all these pictures and frames around. I tell them, if you bring me a picture frame, I'll put it up right away. Mm-hmm. If not, it goes into our scrapbook and mm-hmm. it sits on the coffee table and kind of look through and see the notes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's sweet. That really is sweet. So you have babies?
Yes.
Of your own? Two. Right. Wow. Okay. So tell us how that experience is while you're having your own practice.
Wow. Well, the first, my older daughter, as you mentioned before, was born right before I started med. Well, she was born between college and medical school. Mm-hmm. So when I started med school, she was 2. Mm-hmm. So I drug her to class, and I drug her around residencies, and I had her kind of before I did this for a living. My son is only 9, so there's a little gap there.
Wow.
And so I had him after I was already practicing. So it was a little different because I
left. That's interesting.
Yeah, I knew a lot more when mm-hmm. I had him, and kind of the lingo that I didn't understand when I was having her. I was like, no, we're not doing that. You know, it's kind of dictating how it's supposed to go that day. Mm-hmm. But you know, now I just, you know, I'm the poster child for it takes a village mm-hmm. to raise a child, especially if you're single and if you're trying to have a career like I have. Mm-hmm. I mean, I work crazy hours. So we chip in. Now I have a nanny. I do mm-hmm. have help. Mm-hmm. But my kids are great. I'm blessed with great kids. They've both been drugged into the hospital with me. Mm-hmm. They think it's kind of like fun, mm-hmm. like it's a sleepover or right. something. Mm-hmm. The older one doesn't come anymore, but the little one, he'll come, and because there's like free soda,
right.
and free snacks, and
it's like, yeah,
cookies,
right.
Yeah. And there's a TV, he can put on anything he wants. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, this is great. So it's cool. It helps me relate more to, you know, what the patients are going through, and it helps me really speak to like the single moms. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of single moms out there, mm-hmm. and I kind of mm-hmm. I remember being that girl. Mm-hmm. My older one was a deadbeat dad. So mm-hmm. I've had that experience mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. And knowing how to kind of recover from that and still build and still become and not let that dictate your future and where you're going to go. Mm-hmm.
And so what is it that you say to them? Cause I'm sure that is important. You probably get some in there with no support of the father at right. all. Like, what do you say to them?
Well, what I try to tell them is, listen, it's not, don't take it personal. I think when young ladies have that guy that walks away, but then they also have this baby who's just beautiful and they love it, mm-hmm. they take it real personal. Like, what's wrong with me? Why did he reject me? He doesn't love this baby. You know, they kind of mm-hmm. get that whole beat themselves up thing. And I try to tell them, listen, it's not you. Mm-hmm. It's him. But you can't let what he's not doing stop you. Mm-hmm. You have this baby. You have to raise it. This baby is beautiful. And you can be the best mom you know how to be. Mm-hmm. And even if you never saw a good mom, just pretend.
Right.
Fake it. Mm-hmm. You know, you knew what you always wanted. And a mom, you want to bake cookies, so bake cookies. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whether you like cookies or not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can create what you wanted to create as far as your child. And I just try to really encourage them, still go to school. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell any mom, go while your baby's little. Go to school and get your education while your child is under 5 because mm-hmm. they won't remember any of it. Mm-hmm. Like my daughter, she has vague memories of my residency, but she doesn't remember med school. Mm-hmm. She doesn't remember eating hot dogs and pork beans, SpaghettiOs, because it was cheap, you know? Mm-hmm. I was in med school. I was broke. I was like, yeah,
we got to eat this ravioli today.
Yeah, she liked it, you know? SpaghettiOs, $3-4.
Right. And they're just as happy because, happy. Like you said, they don't know at
exactly.
all.
Exactly. You're right. She had light ups from Kmart, right, Walmart, right. She was happy.
As opposed to doing it when they're a little older and they can be like, well, I don't want to eat that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And they're like, well, they're not going to know me. I'm like, they're going to know you. They know you and you're there, mm-hmm. but you're trying to accomplish things. And it's so much easier to get it all out the way. And then once you've achieved it, they're six, seven, all they know was my mom is a whatever she is.
Right.
And this is how we live, and it's great. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And you still push through with your baby mm-hmm. at 23 mm-hmm. when you could have given up.
Right.
But so did you self-talk or did you have a support system there to tell you you can do this?
Probably self-talk. And I kind of got mad because what happened was when I had my daughter, I had graduated college. And I had my daughter, took a year off. Don't do that. Don't take a year off. And everybody, like many people in my life, not everybody, many people in my life thought it was over. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to be a doctor. Mm. Oh, you were supposed to mm-hmm. do this. You were supposed to. And I'm like, well, what? Why can't I? Mm-hmm. And so many people just counted me out at that point. And I was like, I'm going to med school. Watch. And you know, even friends were like, oh, well, I don't know how you're going to do it with a baby. And mm-hmm. I'm like, watch me. And I went through. And by the grace of God, yes. I'm not going to say it's all me, by mm-hmm. the grace of God, because it was tough. Mm-hmm. But I managed to get out and graduate and get through it. And I made it.
Mm-hmm. And you had that relationship with God where I'm sure you prayed
yes,
through it.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is extremely important to get through anything.
Oh, yeah. Especially some challenges when you don't know, like, how you're going to make it. And, you know, just going through, again, the relationship with her father and trying to work that situation out and still having to go to class and study and do all these other things. But thank God I stuck with it and got through, and here we are.
Here we are, and you are amazing today more than ever. Honored with the People You Need to Know mm-hmm. magazine. Tell yes. us about that experience.
Oh, that was awesome. Sparkplug is the publisher of People You Need to Know magazine, and it's a magazine that highlights women in business. And a couple years ago, I won the award for the healthcare business superstar. Mm-hmm. Just kind of for coming into Atlanta and kind of just trying to make it happen. And mm-hmm. so that's been awesome. And I've met some incredible women through that network. Mm-hmm. Women who are doing things all over the metro and different fields, mm-hmm. banking and all type of stuff. So it's been great. Mm-hmm.
And you also hosted the world's largest baby shower.
I did.
That's
I did.
So interesting because I would like to do something similar to that next year. So how was that experience?
It was good. We got, we were really blessed with a lot of donations. Mm-hmm. So we gave away some really good door prizes. We rented out a school cafeteria and said, anyone bring anything that was anything baby. Mm. So we had cupcake makers and we had even insurances participated, like AmeriGroup and Peach State and different insurance carriers came in. And we had some hospitals come in and we had giveaways and prizes and people that made gift baskets and just all types of things with anything baby. And we had a lot of donations from Target was one of our sponsors, and they gave away a crib and some furniture mm-hmm. and all types of stuff. So it was good. And a lot of people walked out with like really good prizes mm-hmm. In addition to just being able to kind of get uplift and inspire all the people that were there. Mm-hmm.
That is truly amazing and very commendable for you to do that. And what inspired you to do that? I know for me, I just like babies and like I'm not having any more anytime soon, but I just love babies. I love baby things. And I also like the cause, like wanting to help right. women who right. are less fortunate, but still need all of those things that you're going to need
right.
As a first time mom or however many time mom. You right. still gonna need those things.
Well, the proceeds went to the Pregnancy Resource Center, which I'm pretty sure is all over the country, but there's a couple of locations in my area, in Henry County and in Butts County. And what they do is they are advocates for young women who find themselves pregnant, and they come in and they can get free testing. Sometimes they can get free ultrasounds there, and they get classes and things. If they go to so many classes, they get like coupons to get things they need for the baby. And it's a nonprofit organization, so the proceeds went to that organization, so we kind of had their support as well in bringing everything in. But it was that's really why, because again, my heart is just for those moms who just don't have. And I see, you know, in my practice, some young ladies who just, you know, you're about to have a baby, but you don't have, you know, a car, you don't mm-hmm. have gas money to get to your appointment or, you know, stuff like that. But you're about to have this baby.
Right, right.
And the baby doesn't understand no, mm-hmm. or we don't have it. It doesn't understand
right,
that.
Right, right. So let's talk about prenatal care, because it is important.
It is.
How important is it? Or, like, how soon should you get to the doctor? Because I know for me, like, baby number five, like you said before, like, sometimes it can be a headache going into the office. But for baby number five, I was like, you know what? I'm just not going. I'm pregnant, but I'm not going in right now. I just don't feel like that. And I think I went in at around 17 weeks. My doctor was livid. He's like, this is your fifth time. So you just think you just got this under control now, right? Right? Yeah. So you just show up whenever you want to. He was livid. But how soon should we go in?
Well, I think you should start taking your vitamins as soon as you know you're pregnant. Or even before. If you're planning a pregnancy, start your vitamins in that before you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. Start watching your diet before you're pregnant and drinking your water and eating properly. Your first visit probably is fine somewhere between 10 and 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. By that time, the baby's big enough and the odds that you'll have a miscarriage or something are pretty slim at that point. So between 10 and 12 weeks for your first visit, meet with your doctor, get your blood work done, you know, check out your iron levels, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then most people will get their first ultrasound somewhere soon after that. Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody wants to know what they're having.
Right.
The first day, what am I having? And so then, you know, in the beginning, of course, it's once a month or every 4 weeks. And then as you get a little closer, it's every 2 weeks, starting at around the third trimester. And then that last month, you know, I'm like every week.
That's the drag. You're like, going.
Yeah. Yeah. And but, most of the time, we don't find anything wrong. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes we do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that blood pressure may go up in those mm-hmm. last couple of weeks. Or sometimes that heartbeat might sound a little funny. Or sometimes things can happen those last few weeks mm-hmm. that even though you're like, oh, I have to go back. Same, more of the same. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, we need to know some of those things. Mm-hmm. So it is important. I know it's kind of like, I have to.
And that the test to see if you have I can't think of the name of it, but it's like a diabetes test. What is the name of that?
The glucose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. That orange drink.
Everybody hates that.
And hate it. And then hate when you fail and you have to come back.
But like,
I always failed. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. This last time was the worst. I'm like, uncomfortable. I couldn't even sit in the office because my stomach was big. I'm uncomfortable and I got to sit for like 3 hours and come get some blood drawn. It's just,
That's awful. So we said, listen, don't eat. I tell the patients, you can eat before you come, but don't eat a candy bar. Don't mm-hmm. drink a soda. Don't eat a biscuit. Don't do any of that on your way here. Cause if you fail, you have to come back for the 3 hour test.
Right. Right. And I think the first and second pregnancy, I chewed a piece of bubble gum mm-hmm. and my tongue was blue. And the nurse was like, what are you doing? I was like, well, I had a funny taste in my mouth. She's like, no. So that was a mess. But something here recently that everyone's talking about is postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. Do you get a lot of patients that experience that?
I get a good amount. Now there's what they call baby blues. Mm-hmm. And then there's full-blown depression. Now baby blues is more normal. I mean, because having a baby is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That those first few weeks, get that newborn home and it doesn't sleep and you're tired and it's crying and you're crying and everybody's crying, you know, because you don't know what to do mm-hmm. and you have only had 2 hours of sleep and you feel like I just can't do this. Mm-hmm. That's more normal. Mm-hmm. When you get into postpartum depression, it's kind of like the withdrawing, not wanting to talk to the baby or interact with the baby, kind of not even having feelings of hurting the baby or hurting yourself, mm-hmm. That, and it lasts more than those first couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Usually that first couple of weeks, people will kind of be like, okay, now I got this. Mm-hmm. But when it lasts beyond that and it becomes very severe, then we have a big problem. There is something also called postpartum psychosis where you really have a detachment. It's like depression, you know, to the max. And I have had a patient just recently who had that, mm-hmm. and she ended up having to be hospitalized because mm-hmm. it was that severe. Mm-hmm. So those types of things are real and they do happen, and we can't just, you know, take them lightly. Mm-hmm. You have to.
What triggers it? I mean, is it something that just happens like soon after? Because I know for me, I was so happy to get the baby out of me. Like, I'm like, yes, let's live life. And I didn't experience that, but mm-hmm. I know that it is real. Mm-hmm. And like you said, something to not be taken lightly. How does it happen?
Some women are just predisposed to it, and they just will feel the effects of it usually soon after, mm-hmm. Within about a week or two, they'll start to notice it. And like I said, if it doesn't lift, mm-hmm. out of that overwhelming stage, but if it doesn't lift and you don't feel better about it, then it's likely to be that depression. Mm-hmm. But sometimes usually it's going to onset pretty quickly, mm-hmm. you know, just not wanting to deal with the baby, not wanting to feed it, you know, or not wanting to get out of bed, those types of things. When you see the woman withdrawing or mm-hmm. just behaving kind of erratically, then you have to be concerned about postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this something that the patient came to you about, or was it a family member come to you?
I've had it in both ways. Well, the family member can't exactly come to me, mm-hmm. but they can bring the patient. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because once a patient is a patient, that's confidentiality breach. So I can't really talk to someone else about it. Mm-hmm. But if they come themselves, we can kind of work through it. We can maybe need to do some medication in the short term, have them come back weekly to see how they're doing. And if the medication doesn't help, we'll refer them out sometimes to a psychiatrist just to try to get them through it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Let's see, what else do I want to talk about? I want to make sure I had just all my health questions out. What are some health risks that you've seen that you're concerned about today that you want to talk about, or that you've seen over years that you really want to make light of?
Well, you know, one, ladies who are sexually active, please be careful. Mm-hmm. There's STDs. I mean, you would think that, especially here in Georgia, we're like on the top of the list for almost all the STDs. Mm. And that includes HIV, chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis. I mean, we're at the top of the list. So if you're going to be having sex with people you don't know, or even sometimes ones you do, mm-hmm. if it's not
that internet dating, and just meeting random people,
if you're not in a what you consider a monogamous relationship, please be careful. Use condoms. Don't just have sex just mm-hmm. to be having sex, because there's a lot of STDs out there. Herpes is, you know, on the rise, and herpes you can't get rid of. Mm. Type 2 herpes and HIV, of course, you can't get rid of. So that's one thing that I always am like, you know, you have to take better care of yourself, better care of your bodies, and just obesity and overall health. I mean, not that I'm skinny, so I can't, but, you know, being careful about your weight over time, being overweight will hurt your kidneys. It'll hurt your pancreas. It'll hurt your liver. So, and you'll end up having serious health issues as a result of it. So that's one thing I'm always telling people, please be careful. And of course, smoking. Mm-hmm. Smoking is bad. It's bad for your skin. It's bad for your heart. It's mm-hmm. bad for everything. Mm-hmm. Bad for your breath. Mm-hmm. So smoking is really bad as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Some things to think about.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yes, yes.
I'm so
happy.
You
have great skin. So
well, thank you. I mean, I should be drinking so much more water, Dr. Mm-hmm. Lori, but I don't. And I know that, like, I need some therapy for that, because I know I need more water. And like you said, I mean, I can just imagine drinking more water. It's just better for my body and my skin and just my insides and just a healthier vagina and just a healthier, just the overall mm-hmm. experience for drinking water. So thank you for your information. Now, how can we stay connected with you?
Oh, I am on Facebook. Just For You OBGYN has a Facebook page. We're there. I am on Twitter and Instagram at Dr. Lori J. And that's Lori with the E, LORIEJ. Mm-hmm. I'm on both of those. I'm not on Periscope yet, but maybe I will be soon. And I am in Locust Grove, Georgia. My new website is actually being launched today. I haven't even seen it yet.
Yay, today. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's www.justforyouobgyn.com. So I know I'm in Locust Grove, and y'all are like, that's far. It's by Tanger. You can go shopping, come get your pap smear.
I need to go out there too. And we didn't talk about pap smears. Let's just talk about that really quickly. Okay. Pap smears.
Yes.
Go.
Pap smears. you know, they keep changing the recommendations. They're saying it's up to 5. I advise my patients every 2 years. Mm-hmm. We've had normals. 2 years is good to come in for your repeat pap. You know, if you've had an abnormal pap, probably annually. If you've mm-hmm. ever had any kind of displays or anything like that, probably once a year you still need to go. But if they've been fine, every 2 years, 3 at the most, because mm-hmm. things can happen. Mm-hmm. You know, things can happen with over the course of time. So we want to make sure that we're not getting cervical cancer or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always thought it was annually. I didn't even know that you could go, like,
Yeah, they keep changing the recommendations. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. But like you said, things do happen. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know how would you even know if you had something like cervical cancer?
Unless you have maybe you have bleeding after intercourse sometimes pain, but sometimes you don't know at all. Mm-hmm. And you just happen to find it incidentally on your pap. So mm-hmm. you still need to come for your paps.
Okay, cool. And what happens during a pap smear?
We take that little device that everybody hates called a speculum, and we place it into the vagina, and we open it, and I visualize the cervix, and we just take a little sampling with a little brush, and the cells go into a little solution, and it goes to the lab, and they look at all the cells mm-hmm. to make sure there are no abnormal changes.
Mm-hmm. And if it's a normal pap, no call, you're fine, or do you communicate either way?
They get a letter. We get a letter from our lab if it's normal. If it's abnormal, you get a phone call.
Okay. Mm. Awesome. And if your cervix is like way in the back somewhere like mine, the doctor has to like dig for a minute and it's so uncomfortable, but still go get it.
Yeah. You know, come see me because I'm really fast.
Yeah. Oh,
they tell me I'm fast. I'm in and out.
Oh, I love that.
Done.
And Dr. Lori says you don't have to wait for hours.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely not.
Well, thank you so much, yeah. Dr. Lori, for being here with me today. I'm definitely going to stay in touch with you because I just have so many questions, and I just love for my viewers and followers to know everything about women's health and all that good stuff. And I just love babies. I know you do. It's your business.
It is. I love them.
We didn't talk about beauty, hair and makeup. You're gorgeous.
Thank you.
Do you stay so beautiful and whipping out babies and surgeries? You just had a surgery this morning.
I did a hysterectomy before I came here this morning. I did.
How amazing is that?
I did. We had
so you were in scrubs.
I was in scrubs with a blue hat on and mm-hmm. all that. And I put some makeup on to come here.
I love it. That is amazing. Well, I hope your patient is doing well.
Yes, well, very well.
And I really appreciate you for being here again. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you, Periscope. This is Dr. Lori. Bye, Dr. Lori.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Oh, wait. I have an announcement. I'm hosting the Ultimate Holiday Soiree at Co's Atlanta on Sunday, December 13th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Visit b3holiday.eventbrite.com to RSVP. And to secure one of the few vendor spots we have left, we have over 150 RSVPs, so it's the perfect opportunity to get your business in front of professional women of Atlanta. This event will benefit the Children's Restoration Network, an organization that helps homeless mothers and their children. I personally adopt at least 10 kids every year, and this year, the holiday soiree is to help aid me in adopting more so that these kids can really have an enjoyable Christmas. I know for sure that my kids, my personal kids, they don't need anything. So I'd like to have them help me with this so that they can see and have an opportunity to see that there are kids out there that do not live like them. So please help and donate and make a difference in a child's life. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Enjoy the rest of your week. Have an awesome Wednesday.
This show is brought to you by Airbender. The freedom of knowing the problem is solved. Your resource for the preventive care of your heating and cooling systems. Learn more at www.airbenderga.com.